All right. If you would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, that is page 213 in your pew Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. So let's stand together with God's Word, and we're going to read together page 213 in your pew Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's begin with verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" Thank you so much. You can be seated. So this morning you had the opportunity to read big words from the Bible. On the day before Valentine's Day, a wife woke her husband up and she said to him, "I just dreamed that you gave me a diamond ring and diamond earrings on Valentine's Day." And he just smiled at her and she said to him, "So what do you think that means?" And he smiled at her and said, "Honey, you'll soon know." Valentine's Day, she woke him up and she said, "You won't believe the dream I dreamed last night. Last night I dreamed you gave me pearl necklace for Valentine's Day. What do you think that means?" And he said, "Honey, you'll soon know." That afternoon from work, he came home with a small package wrapped in red with a beautiful white bow on it. She tore it open and there was a book titled, "The Meaning of Dreams." I would think she was probably disappointed. And so that leads us into today's message. Disappointment. That disappointment that follows the failure of expectations or hopes that never manifest. Someone said this, that disappointment is the experience you feel when you consider what might have been in contrast to what exists in the present. When you're expecting something, when you have expectations that someone is going to do something for you, or that something is going to happen, and it does not happen, then you've sensed that disappointment. I understand disappointment. I run into what could be disappointment every week. There are people that you call and say, "Oh yes, I want to talk to you." You make an appointment, you drive to where they want to meet, and you sit and you wait and you wait and you wait. There's a reason that a calendar is also called an appointment book, because with an appointment book, you are also going to face disappointments in your appointments. It's interesting. Disappointment and an inability to prepare for it have actually been studied by doctors, and they have a theory that disappointment actually lowers your immune system and makes you vulnerable to sickness. They call it the disappointment effect. And in essence, the disappointment effect is when someone does not prepare adequately, that disappointment might happen. That when it does happen, it is so drastic that it breaks down their immune system. So today we're starting a new series on the prophet Samuel. Now Samuel was a prophet when Israel decided that they no longer wanted to be led by a prophet, they wanted to be led by a king. Samuel went and anointed Saul, the first king, and then he watched as Saul failed God, and Saul lost his mind and lost his throne along with his life. Samuel anointed David, only to watch David become a fugitive as Saul began to attempt to kill him. Samuel lived in a time of turbulence and political upheaval, of corruption in both the religious and political arenas. He spent his entire life serving God, only to have the nation reject him because of the actions of his adult children. Samuel faced many of the issues that you and I face today. We may live in a different time, but problems and pain are still problems and pain, whether they happened 1,000 years before Christ or they happen to us right now. And so we're starting a series on Saul, and today's message is titled Dealing with Disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. And it doesn't so much affect Samuel today as it affects his mother, Hannah. We read about her in our text. Hannah was a woman who seemingly had it all. She had an affluent husband, a wealthy husband, who loved her and who loved God. She had a husband who went and followed the teaching of the law and offered sacrifices, bountiful sacrifices. She had all the check marks for a happy life. There was only one thing missing in Hannah's life. She was unable to have children. She was barren. To be barren in the time in which Hannah was living was considered to be a curse by God. It meant that there was something in your life. There was something that had happened in your past that you've just had not come clean about yet. And so you're being punished because of that. And your punishment is barrenness. You're unable to have children. In biblical times, the more children you had, the more it indicated God's blessings on your life. So the goal was to have as many children as possible. This is why Solomon would write and talk about children being like quivers of arrows in a bow, or bows in a quiver. And he said, you know, give me many. He wanted many children because it showed that God was blessing him. And so here is Peninnah with many children. And here's Hannah with no children. And for Hannah, it was a source of great and deep disappointment. Hannah was not the only one to experience disappointment, because really, I think disappointment comes sort of in three different channels into your life. The first one is this. Disappointment comes through life itself. When things happen in life that we were not anticipating, that we were not expecting, that we were not prepared for, and we find that life is not as good as we thought it was going to be, that the season we're going through life right now is difficult and hard and is filled with disappointment. Solomon experienced this. He wrote about it in the book of Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11. Listen to what Solomon said, and I'm reading from the message. Everything I wanted, I took. I never said no to myself. I gave into every impulse, held back nothing. I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of every task, my reward to myself for a hard day's work. Then I took a good look at everything I'd done. I looked at all the sweat and hard work. But when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke. Smoke and spinning into the wind. There was nothing to any of it. nothing. We incorrectly believe that a new car, a better job, more money, a promotion, if I just had this, if I just had that, if only I, you know, if only that belonged to me, that that is somehow going to fulfill us. And yet it leads to one disappointment after another. Life can disappoint you. Relationships can disappoint you. Friends, people that you thought had your back, turned around and stabbed you in the back. People that you thought were on your side. People that you thought you could depend on. People that you know, you knew that they were there for you. And they disappoint you. They let you down. They do something. They say something. They act in a way and you just think, I just can't believe you would do that. Mary and Martha were disappointed in a friend. John chapter 11, verses 21 and verse 32. Mary and Martha's brother is sick and now has died. And Jesus shows up after Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. Later, her sister Mary comes out. Verse 32 of John 11. This is what it says. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. It's that confidence that someone is going to be there for you. Someone is going to stand by your side. Someone is not going to let you down. And you find out that that someone has feet of clay and they disappoint you. They're not there when you think they ought to be. They're not there as often as you think they ought to be. They're not there in the way you think they ought to be. And there's that opportunity for disappointment. Life can disappoint you. Relationships will disappoint you. People, close people, those you love can disappoint you. Luke chapter 24, Jesus has risen from the dead. Verse 18, he's walking on the road to Emmaus and there are two men walking. It says one of them named Cleopas asked Jesus, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things, Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. And now here comes their disappointment. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. He won't disappoint me. She won't disappoint me. My child won't disappoint me. My grandchild won't disappoint me. My husband, my wife, they won't disappoint me. And they do. You have an adult child that stops speaking to you. You have a grandchild that doesn't show you, you know, at one time you were the love of their life and now they don't even know where you live. People that are close to us. Maybe it's not because they're just mean or hard-hearted, but people who are close to us, I mean, not just friends, but people we allow into the inner chamber can disappoint us. And we think, they won't disappoint me. They love me. They know me. They're family. They won't let me down, and they can. Disappointment is all around you and I. It comes in the form of just life itself. It comes through friends, through people we work with. It comes through people that we love. And we're confronted with disappointment. How are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do? And now, for the next few minutes, I want to look at Hannah. How Hannah dealt with disappointment. Because it pertains to how I deal with disappointment. How you and I are called to deal with disappointment. And the first one is this. Fight the urge to flee. Fight the urge to flee. I hear people say stuff like this. Well, they won't ever hurt me again. I won't ever allow anybody to do that to me again. Nobody's going to take advantage of me again like that. I've learned my lesson. And so what are we doing? We're running. We think we're putting up a bold front, but in essence, we're running, we're fleeing. When facing disappointment, some people just quit. They quit trying. They quit church. It's just a bunch of hypocrites. The preacher really disappointed me. I shouldn't say that on Pastor Appreciation Day. He really disappointed me. I don't think I can go to church anymore. Oh, somebody was sitting in my pew. Somebody was in my parking place. They really disappointed me. I don't think I can go back to church there anymore. They didn't meet my expectations. They didn't call me. Nobody sent me a card. Nobody came to visit me. I'm so hurt. They quit relationships. I'm just not going to get close to anybody anymore. I'm going to keep people at a distance. I'm going to keep them right out there where I can control them. And I'm not going to let anybody in anymore because I can't face that kind of hurt anymore. And then there are some people who become so disappointed, they just quit life. They just quit life. But notice what Hannah did. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, it talks about how year after year, this other wife kept harassing Hannah. And she was faced every year with that disappointment when her husband comes back after offering the sacrifices and he brings all this meat that he's offered and all this, and he begins to give it to Peninnah and her children, and this one gets a portion and that one gets a portion and this one gets a portion and that one gets a portion. And there Hannah sits by herself. No son, no daughter. And now her husband is trying to make up for it. So he's saying, he's given her a double portion, and now he feels like I've got to make her feel better. So he's saying to her, Hannah, I'm better to you than 10 children. But I love what it says about Hannah. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, she did not stop. She did not quit. She didn't say, it hurts too bad. I just can't face that anymore. I'm not going to let anybody in. I'm upset with God. God's even disappointment. He's closed my womb. He's not answering my prayers. I don't understand why I can't have children. I'm a good person. No, Hannah didn't let any of that dominate her life. She kept going up year by year by year by year. And listen, it says every time she went up, it says her rival provoked her till she wept. But every year, Hannah was there. Hannah was faithful. Hannah was dependable. Hannah could be counted on. She carried disappointment. She carried hurt. It hurt her every time she went to the house of God, because this is the God that Samuel, who wrote this book, said had closed her womb. She had many reasons to say, I'm not going this year. But she was there. She refused to quit. There is always disappointment. And let me tell you something I have found. There is always somebody to remind you of your disappointment. In every life, there is a Peninnah who wants to remind you of your failure, who wants to dig that scab a little bit, who maybe doesn't necessarily just want to remind you of your failure. They want to talk about the person that failed you. And all that does is just like pulling the lid off a pot and starting to stir it. And you start stirring harder and harder. And before long, you're thinking, oh, if she was here, I'd take this spoon and just bang her over the head with it. There's always someone around. There's always a Peninnah who is going to be around to remind you. The situation didn't change. The disappointment did not change. Hannah's pain did not change. But Hannah stayed the course. Hannah said, I may be disappointed, but I'm not going to live a life of disappointed. I may weep. I may cry. It may hurt me in my innermost being. But I'm not going to let disappointment be the dominating factor of my life. When people see me, the first thing I'm going to talk about is not going to be my disappointment. Every year, Hannah was there. as much as it hurt her, as much as she knew I'm just opening the door for Peninnah to start provoking me again. And can't you kind of see Peninnah when Elkanah comes back from the temple, temple he's offered the sacrifices, and now he's coming back with all these gifts he wants to give his family, and he starts giving them out, and I can see every time one of Elkanah's children gets something, I can see Elkanah looking at Hannah like, uh-huh. You see who he loves, don't you? And it was just like a knife, just twisting a little bit. And I can see Hannah as she sits there. It's almost like Christmas. When everybody gets a gift and when the tree is empty, there's no gift for you. I've experienced something similar to that. We've all experienced something where it's like, wow, my brother got a BB gun. I got a pair of underwear. Or mom and dad sending me a message. And I can see Hannah sitting there, and I see the hot tears rolling down her cheeks, and something within her is just saying, God, this hurts so much to be here, but I'm still here. I'm still here. She refused to flee. Paul is a prime example of fighting the urge to flee. He said this in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And listen to what he says now, if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Paul was someone who faced disappointment all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 23. Paul said, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and had often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. You know why Paul was writing that to the Corinthians? Not to pat himself on the back, but he had received a series of questions from the church at Corinth, and he can't go there because he's in prison. But he's writing them a letter, and one of the questions that they're dealing with in the church in Paul's absence is this. Paul is not really an apostle. Because the apostles were supposed to be people who had been with Jesus, and Paul had not. So Paul is having to write to them and say, I am more than an apostle. He's writing from his disappointment. He's writing from his pain. He's writing from this area in his life when he's saying, how can you say this about me? How can you believe this about me? But he chooses not to blast them, but to bless them. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, and I got to hurry. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't let your disappointment, don't let your disappointments in life cause you to lose heart. Fight the urge to flee. Secondly, hang on to hope. Hang on to hope. Hannah never lost her hope in God. Hannah never lost her hope. She was disappointed, but she never lost hope in God. She was expressing that every time she came to the house of God, every time she came to the temple, she was expressing, I've not given up. I haven't lost hope. I'm still holding on. Hope is essential in facing disappointment. Paul wrote in Romans 5, beginning in verse 2, "We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame." Paul was describing in Romans 5 the breeding ground for disappointment. Those things that you suffer, those things that bring about perseverance, those things that develop character in you. That's the breeding ground for hope. And then he turns around and closes it out by saying, "Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame." King James Version says, "Hope does not disappoint us." Hold on to hope. Paul said this in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement it provides, we might have hope." I look to the Scripture when I'm disappointed. You have to look to the Scripture and look for the hope that is there. I love, and I'm closing out, but I love how Paul closed out his letter to the church at Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning verse 16, he says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." What did God do? He gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. And then Paul said, "So let it encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word." If you look to people to get you over disappointment, you're going to be disappointed. If you look to something new, something shinier, something brighter, to get you over your disappointment, you're going to be disappointed. If you look to a relationship or to your job or to whatever it is that you're looking to, your health, your finances, your 401k, the stock market, you're going to be disappointed. And then you and I have to decide, what am I going to do with this disappointment? What am I going to do? And you and I have to say, you know what? I'm reminded of Hannah. She refused to flee. She fought the urge to flee. And she held on to hope. Hannah refused to let her disappointment become disillusionment. Are you disappointed in someone? Are you disappointed that your prayer has not yet been answered? Are you disappointed that life is not getting better, but it seems like it's getting worse? Are you disappointed because someone let you down and you're still carrying that disappointment, is still dictating your life, even though it happened 20, 30 years ago? They let you down and that disappointment is still dominating your life. Well, today I want to throw you a lifeline. And the lifeline is this: don't give up. Don't let the devil win. Don't stop fighting. Remain faithful. Keep hoping. Because next week we're going to see, God willing, what happens when you don't lose hope. Father, today, I know in my own life, Lord, there have been disappointments. Some of them have been brought into my life by others, and some of them, Father, I brought into my own life. Every one of us, Father, have faced disappointment. And sometimes the biggest disappointment is when we disappoint ourselves. When we do the very thing we said we'd never do, when we say the very thing, when we act like the person we said, "I'll never act like them," and we see it manifesting in our own life. But Father, I ask You today that your word would take root within us. Because not only have we faced disappointment, in the future we're going to face more disappointment. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And the key is going to be, what am I going to do with this disappointment? How will I deal with disappointment? I pray, Father, that we would remember Hannah, who fought the urge to flee and who held on to hope. And I pray, Father, for that one who is here today that has allowed disappointment to become disillusionment, who's allowed disappointment to dominate their life. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would set them free today, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength, that they would find renewed hope, not in people, not in relationships, not in themselves, but our hope, Lord, is in You. Father, the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Our help, Lord, our hope is in You. So I thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you.